failure to disrupt. Why technology alone can't transform education. It's the work by my guest, Justin Reich, explaining why learning technologies, long hyped as instruments that rapidly accelerate learning and democratize education, work in some situations, not in others. I'll let you fill in the blank. Good morning to you, Justin.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for you. Is it a Mitsui Career Development Professor of Comparative Media Studies and Director of the Teaching Systems?
At MIT. That's
yeah,
right.
Very cool. Also hosting podcasts, Teach Lab, and I know you've written about education and technology and more. So there you are. You know your stuff. And yet we talk a little bit about the word failure here. What's your premise?
Well, the idea is that for the last two decades, education technology evangelists have promised a dramatic transformation of the education landscape, that we would have kids learning math and personalized pathways by sitting in front of their computers, that higher education would collapse because of massive open online courses and there'd be 10 mega universities transforming everything. And the pandemic was really kind of the test for education technology. You know, school buildings all over the world closed. 1.6 billion learners went home, and it was kind of online learning's moment to shine. And I think for most families, it's been really disappointing. What we've learned is not that education technology is necessarily useless, but it's useful in really targeted places. You know, we actually have some reasonably good tools for teaching you how to be a computer programmer or teaching you introductory math or introductory language. But for many of the things that we most want students to learn, particularly things like how to write, how to reason from evidence, we don't have great online tools to support student learning in a comprehensive way.
Yes. Justin, talk a little bit about your research to come up with your findings.
Sure. So some of the way that I do research is I build these things. I mean, to some extent, I'm an education technology critic, but I'm also a developer. I have a half dozen online courses that I've put online. I've worked as a consultant with schools and colleges across the United States and across the world. Some of the way the book is designed is a history. So one of the arguments in the book is that if you want to predict how a new technology will transform the education landscape, most things are not totally new. Most things are part of a lineage. They're building on things that have existed before. We have new generations of adaptive tutors, but we've had people trying to build computer-based tutors for the last 60 years. So you can look back in the past and you can see how technologies have worked in particular contexts and particular subject areas for different kinds of learners in different circumstances before. And if you know something about the past of education technology, you can make pretty good bets about how a new entrant will impact the landscape.
You show us, you remind us, your research tells us learning technologies, even those that are free to access, often provide the greatest benefit to affluent students and do little to combat growing inequality in education here.
So that's absolutely the case. You know, it turns out that even free things, free online tools and services, you have to have a certain amount of financial technical capital to be able to take advantage of them. So even for things that are free, and of course we're seeing now in terribly dramatic and tragic ways that just the basic infrastructure for learning is not available, for learning online is not available to all students. There are millions of K-12 learners in the United States who have no connection to the internet, no connection to broadband internet. There are millions of kids who don't have a computing device that they can use all on their own. So there's a lot of work to do in this country if we want education technology to be a leveler for the education landscape.
The book is Failure to Disrupt, author Justin Reich on the line on behalf of MIT. You also tell us that technology does have a critical role to play in the future of education, Justin.
Sure. I think there's no way that, as we can see right now in the midst of the pandemic, there are lots of circumstances in which online learning can be tremendously beneficial. There are lots of students who don't feel safe to go into school buildings right now that are able to continue their learning in some form or another online. As we have more disruptions from climate change, there will be more of these kinds of needs for online learning. And then there are lots of people, especially those those who are trying to continue their education in the midst of a working life who find online learning convenient. And there are some really great and powerful tools that are out there if you want to learn the basics of computer programming and an introduction to computational creativity. Scratch is a great programming language and community for doing that. So, you know, online learning, education technology is going to be a part of all of our education systems moving forward. And to some extent, that's why I think it's so important that we need to get away from overhyped claims about what's possible and about, you know, false stories of transformation and disruption and those kinds of things, so that we can provide educators, that we can provide school leaders, administrators, policymakers with, you know, real scientifically grounded advice about what works and what doesn't.
What's an action item to take home from your work?
Yeah, I think the most important thing that families are probably thinking about right now is what's the role of online learning during a pandemic? How can I be partners with teachers and schools as they're trying to figure out how to use this better? And I, you know, one of the big themes of the book is that our tools are only as useful as our professional learning communities have opportunities to learn about using them. So I hope that there are lots of families out there, as there are teachers in K-12 and higher education, that are experimenting with new approaches to online learning and education technology, that we can be patient and supportive of them. There are lots of efforts this September that are going to start out rocky because education technology is not like a switch that you flip and turn on and off. It's a process for teachers to learn how to use tools and to help students learn how to use tools. And so hopefully we can bring some grace and some patience to teachers and students as they're figuring out how to make this very challenging year work.
Wow. Thank you for your passion and for what you do, directing MIT Teaching Lab, Systems Lab, and delivering this sobering look at the educational tech that's promised to upend traditional approaches to schooling. Failure to Disrupt. How do we find out more information?
You can go to failuretodisrupt.com, or you can find Failure to Disrupt at any of your favorite bookstores, including your local ones.
Thank you, Justin.
Thanks so much for having me.